I'll record, okay? Got it.
Yeah, it's recording now.
All right, Mark, my phone says it's 9:01, so.
All right. Yeah, this is Mark Longfellow with Campus Planning and Design, University of Memphis, and I appreciate everybody getting on this morning. Would ask to mute your phones unless you are talking or have a question. If you would, it'll help keep the background chatter down. Steve Landwehr is our architect on this project, and he's going to conduct the meeting, so. We'll turn it over to Steve at this point. Also, all the participants that are on the line, if you would send Steve an email with your contact info, he's going to record the meeting minutes and send those out to everybody. Is that okay, Steve?
Yeah, that's great. We were trying to figure out how we might take attendance, but instead of just having everybody speak, if you'll just send me an email. And I'll give you my email. It's on the agenda. If you'll just send me an email saying that you were on the line, we'll make sure that you're included in the list. And I know that anybody who's getting drawings from Memphis Repro Graphics, they keep track of everybody who's picked up plans or viewed. So we know those folks. But if anybody's picking up drawings from TigerBuy, I'm not sure that they track who looks at or downloads or does anything with the drawings. So if there's anybody getting stuff from TigerBuy, be sure to email us as well. Just want to make sure everybody's getting any addendum or anything after the fact. So, and I hopefully I won't be too distracted here while I do this. I'm still watching the screen and people are still trying to join the meeting, so I'll keep checking back and forth between my two screens to make sure that we're including everybody that we can. All right, so let's get started. This is the pre-bid meeting for the Elmarone Fieldhouse improvements. It's an SBC project. The project number is 367/007-11-2019. Again, we're not going to do an introduction other than myself, Steve Landwehr, Fleming Architects. Mark Longfellow is on the line from the University of Memphis. I know that it looked like Tony Poteet joined the call as well, and I know Phyllis Owens is here. I'm not sure if anybody else from the U of M would like to introduce themselves, but all practical purposes for this, I'm going to be the main point of contact. I'm going to be the one you guys send all your questions to. So we'll just continue on. Bid opening time and place. Bids are to be opened with the U of M staff and the architect, myself, in attendance at 2:00 on June 23rd, 2020. Contractors can join the meeting via video conference. And it's just going to be a call-in only, and we'll send Zoom meeting information for that, just like we're doing now. The drawings and addendum will be available electronically through TigerBuy. And let me zoom in here in case anybody does not already have that. The TigerBuy website is here. I'll leave the screen up for a little bit so you guys can write that down, and also through Memphis Repro Graphics. Everything's on there.
One thing, the Zoom information is in the invitation to bid and the specs. We've already set that up, so that should be good. We'll see if we can get Mark Thomas to post that on TigerBuy as well. But it's in the
okay. All right. And just Mark, so you know, you're breaking up a little bit. I'm not sure why, but. Okay, but again, electronic documents and addenda, instruction to bidders, bid form, construction bid envelope, and drug-free workplace affidavit, those are all available on that site. Applicability of all documents and bid preparation, bidders are solely responsible for any misinterpretations resulting from the use of an incomplete set of documents. So we highly recommend that you do not just download, for example, the electrical drawings or just the structural drawings. Please take a look at the entire set and make sure you're fully familiar in case something you might be responsible for shows up in another discipline's drawings. Item six here, owner's prohibition of the use of services of an illegal immigrant and the related attestation on the bid form. That's important. Make sure you guys are doing what you need to be doing in that regard. Number seven, unless confirmed in writing by addendum, no changes are binding and no interpretations or clarifications are reliable. So please do not call either somebody from the U of M or any of my engineers or myself and ask me a question on the phone. Any response will not be binding. We need all questions in writing sent to me via email, and we will do our best to answer every single one of those questions. Sequence and timetable for questions of interpretation or clarification and issuance of addendum. We need all questions in hand at least 6 calendar days before bid opening. What we're going to do is we're going to set that date as June 15th for the last day for questions. And then we will respond no less than 3 calendar days before the bid date. We're going to set that date as June 18th for the final addendum. Again, requests must be in writing. My email address is right here, so I'll leave this screen up for a minute so everybody can write that down in case you do not already have it. And it looks like we've got a few more people joining the meeting here. Just to let everybody know who has just joined the meeting, we are recording this, and we will make a copy of the recording available to everybody as soon as I figure out how to do that. Okay, I'm going to move on to number 10. Proper bid submittal requirements include the following: the bid form, construction bid envelope, including identification of subcontractors and filling in the subcontractor name or bidder name if any work is required for a category. You must submit your bid security and your drug-free workplace affidavit. All right, addressing alternates. Currently we have two. Not sure if any more will pop up, but the two that we have currently have to do with the ceiling tile replacement in the arena. So the base bid is to replace a certain number of ceiling tiles. It's in the 200 number. The grid is not being replaced, only the tiles. So the alternate is going to be an add alternate to replace all of the ceiling tiles in the arena. That's add alternate number one. Add alternate number two is to replace all of the windows in the west lobby. Currently in the base bid, there is some reconfiguration of those windows. We are adding gravity vents for the new HVAC system that is in the project. So there is already some alteration required. And if we're lucky and the money comes in right, an add alternate will be to replace all the windows in that west lobby with new low E insulated windows. All right, number 12, special administration, if applicable, such as commissioning and scheduling. I'm going to let Mark or Tony address that. I think in this project, since there is so little It's not really, obviously it's a renovation job. There's really not a lot going on here. I think we're just going to do general commissioning, which basically just means test and balance, but I'm going to let Mark or Tony address that right now in case I've got that incorrect.
Steve, you're right. Any commissioning would be as required in the project manual. It's basically contractor commissioning.
Okay. Thank you, Tony. Scope of work and contract time review. Okay, so just to get into the details of this project, and we will get to the section on this agenda where we'll get into when people can actually go visit the site. But so basically, the El Marrone Fieldhouse was built back in the 1950s, pretty dated. We are going to give it a facelift on the inside. So basically, a lot of attention is going to be paid to removing the old finishes and putting back new finishes. So that's flooring in the corridors, which will be tile. The bathrooms will be, you know, all of their floors will be redone. So paint on the walls, new base, ceilings. In some instances, these ceilings are a part of the poured-in-place concrete system for the seats, actually, for the arena. This corridor is built underneath the arena seats, so it's exposed concrete. It'll just have to be cleaned and painted. Bathrooms are going to be totally gutted and redone. All the fixtures will be replaced, toilet partitions, flooring, the walls basically will mostly just be cleaned, repainted. There is some wall reconfiguration both in the corridor and in the bathrooms. So we'll be addressing the bathrooms, the corridor, the ticket booths, the concession stands, and then we get into the arena where we're actually going to have some demolition of a small portion of the concrete seating. We're doing that in order to eliminate some of the concrete stairs that actually address the court. And when I mean address the court, if you're coming down the aisles, those concrete steps actually go into the wood floor, which is the side, basically the side portion of the basketball court. So that encroachment's dangerous to players, and you know, it's just not good for egress. So we're reworking how those stairs are configured. We are also adding a handicap lift and a ADA seating platform. All of the seats will be removed from the arena. The bench seats, which I would, you know, kind of consider bleacher seats without seat backs, those will be removed and stored for reinstallation. The chair back seats are being removed and will be turned back over to the U of M. They may use those in another location, but we are doing brand new chair back seats. I want to note about the chair back seats. In designing this, we have a basis of design for the seat. It does not mean we cannot accept another seat, but if we do accept another seat, it has to be mounted the same way as the seats we are showing, and it has to have the same dimensions of the seat we are showing. What we're trying to do is capture as much knee space as possible for the comfort of the visitors or fans in the stands. So we may be able to accept a seat that has a seat depth that is less than what we are specifying, but it could be no more than the depth of the seat that we are specifying. So brand new seat back seats will be installed. The reason why all the seats are being removed is because all of the concrete risers, steps, treads, all of that is going to be cleaned and refinished. And when I say refinished, just look at the spec, but it's going to be in the paint spec. We're going to redo the finish on all of the concrete in the arena. Because of the concrete that's been removed that encroaches into the floor, we are going to have some rework of the wood flooring on the court. This court is under warranty, so we are going to have a $5,000 allowance that will go towards the repair of the floor and we must keep the warranty of the floor. So we will give the information on who is who the flooring manufacturer is that already has that under warranty. Let's see, we're doing new handrails throughout the arena, and a lot of it is glass railing for better visibility for the fans. We are enclosing the northwest and northeast corner of the arena floor. Basically right now it's just a flat area where they store equipment, and it's a little unsightly. Right now they're just using pipe and drape. We're actually going to wall in those two corners that are off the court for storage of materials. All the arena walls are going to be cleaned, repainted. We have acoustical panels that will go on the wall to help the sound from bouncing around in there. Some new signage. I'm trying to make sure I'm capturing everything here. We've got new entry doors into the arena. A couple of the doors are handicap access doors, so they're electronic. And they'll be on a push button. I think I've kind of captured the essence of what we're doing here. It's basically the corridors, the bathrooms, ticketing, concessions in the arena. I'll stop for a minute in case Mark or Tony want to chime in on anything else I might have missed. I do know that we are replacing the HVAC in the west corridor, so that's another item that we're doing.
Steve, I would add that any work inside the main gym, such as the painting of the steel, the work on the ceiling tiles, even kind of the setup and work, you know, for that we're doing on the seats, you must protect the wood floor and not cause any damage to it, not have any point loading, overloads. That floor is not very old. It is under warranty, and we definitely don't want any damage to it.
Good point. Thanks, Tony. And I think on this agenda item, we also talk about scheduling. So I may be jumping the gun a little bit here, but just to let you know, the entire project is needs to run concurrently. So as soon as the notice to proceed is given, all work should start at that point. But the critical portion of this work is the arena work, because now I know we're all in the kind of COVID-19 period right now. We're not sure what's going on with sports, but just to let everybody know that they have to plan to have sports in order to have them. So they are planning on having the basketball season. And whether or not that's with or without fans, we don't know. But you have to plan on the idea that, you know, we may have basketball and we may have fans. So the arena work, you're going to be given 118 days from notice to proceed to finish that work up. And that's estimated to be completed by November 9th. And like I said, all work should start at notice to proceed. So all of the other work in the building should run concurrently with that. The rest of the work, there are actually 229 days associated with that work. And so the entire project should wrap up March 1st, but the arena work should wrap up by November 9th. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Okay, phases, I mean, we kind of talked about that. It's really not phased, but one portion of the work has to be done before the rest of the work is done, so. Item 15, please look at the general conditions of the contract, Article 11 for all insurance requirements. Item 16, builder's risk insurance is required, again. Please look at the general conditions of the contract and Article 11 for that. Major demolition projects, insurance required by supplementary conditions. So there is some demo here. Make sure you're covered. General, number 18, sorry. General conditions, Article 7, requirements regarding changes in the work, including limits on costs for direct payroll expense, overhead, and profit. Please read that article in the general condition of the contract so you're aware of all the requirements there. Number 19, I'll read this, and then I'm probably going to have to turn some of this over to the U of M because it has to do with how all contractors and subcontractors will be accessing the site, where you might park, et cetera. So number 19, site access, construction staging areas, construction workforce parking arrangements, ongoing user operations, bus, car, delivery traffic that must be accommodated, and expectations for construction personnel courtesy and decorum towards site occupants and the public. School will resume. This building has classrooms in it. We will work with the U of M on redirecting students in and around the building. And obviously the contractors will have to have their own construction barriers to keep people out of dangerous zones. But I'll let the U of M talk to parking, staging, et cetera, as it relates to this project.
Steve, can you hear me?
Yes, Lynn, I can.
Okay. Usually what we'll do is when we get to the pre-con meeting, we'll go into a little more detail regarding the staging areas. As far as traffic and parking, basically it's a matter of getting parking permits for your guys. Right at the moment, parking's pretty easy without the number of people that we have on, normally have on campus. But I guess we can, we'll do a walkthrough next week. And when we do, we can talk about the staging and look at areas that might be available for doing that.
Okay, great. Thanks, Lynn. And because this is all work being done inside a building, obviously the discussion here about car, bus, traffic, et cetera, we're not going to be impacting anything out on Zach Curlin. So there's really no impact there. Really, we just have to, it's more or less the comings and goings of students and faculty in the building while construction's going on. So as Lynn said, I guess when we get to the pre-con meeting, that will be discussed in more detail.
Yes, Steve, I would imagine that all the contractors and the personnel are going to be required to wear face masks on campus as well.
Okay, that's a good point. That is a U of M requirement currently in these times. Any vendors, contractors, subcontractors, they're required to wear face masks during work. So I don't know. That's probably pretty commonplace for all of you right now. So item 20. Conditional or qualified bids are unacceptable. There can't be, you know, we'll do this, but we can't do this, or, it's an all-in bid, so no conditional or qualified bids. Number 21, requirement to visit the site and become familiar with the local conditions under which the work is to be performed and to correlate all observations with the requirements of the bidding document. We definitely recommend everybody come and visit the site. I can tell you when designing this thing, we were continually visiting the site because it's, you know, an existing condition. Always new things that were popping up when we were looking into the redesign of the space. So, Lynn, I guess, number 22, opportunity to tour the site. Do we want to set that up now?
I'm available Friday at 1 o'clock if you'd like to go ahead and set that.
Are you talking about this Friday or next Friday?
This Friday, the 12th.
Okay. I am available. So what we'll do is we will set up a site tour for this Friday at 1 o'clock if you will meet in the West Lobby. And if you cannot make that, we will make arrangements for another site visit. So 1 o'clock this Friday, the 12th.
What kind of time frame? You know, are you looking at 2 hours?
Steve, you probably have a better feel for that than I.
It's we're not talking about a lot of area, but I would imagine that we're going to want to not only get into the level that we're working on, but maybe even get down on the first floor. The level that we're working on is considered the second floor for this building, but the first floor is where, you know, a lot of the hydronic piping is for the new unit ventilators. Probably be good to get down there as well. I would say an hour and a half is probably would probably be adequate, because the other spaces, it's basically you walk in, you see it, you know, take pictures, whatever. But you know, everything else is basically corridor, bathroom, concession stand, ticket booth, and arena. And just as long as we can get in all of those spaces, we should move pretty quickly through that second level, and then we can get down into the first level and look at some of those other spaces. Okay, item 23, substitution request procedures. That's in the instructions to bidders. Again, except for the wood floor, we're open to substitutions. We can't write a closed spec. So just be aware of that. But if there is a substitution, we need to know about it. The request needs to be made. It can't just pop up on the site or in a shop drawing after the contract's been executed. So let's see, reading of previously received questions and responses is appropriate. I'm not going to get into that. I do have some questions that have popped up, but I really don't want to get into anything verbal over the phone. I'd rather address that via email and an official addendum. So, okay, 25. All right, that's the same as 24. We'll keep moving. Let's see. That's just the attendance list. Again, anybody who joined the call late, we are recording the call and we will make this call available to everyone. And then we're also asking that anybody who is on this call to email me, Steve Landwehr, Fleming Architects, and we'll get an attendance list generated for everyone. So that's, and here's my email address. I'll zoom in so that anybody who needs it can write it down.
Hello.
Yeah. So that kind of comes to the end of the pre-bid meeting. Happy to open it up to questions. Just realize if it's a question about the project or, you know, that I will want you to send that in writing as well.
Steve, this is Mark. I'd like to bring up one other point if I could.
Mark, I can barely hear you.
I'd like to bring up one other point if I could. Can you hear me better?
Sure. Absolutely.
Just want to caution all the bidders to pay close attention to the instructions for dropping off your bids that's in the limitation to instruction to bidder section in the specs. We're requiring you to drop off your bids by hand at our police services office, and that should all be listed in the in that spec section by 1 p.m. day of bid, and anything delivered later than that will not be accepted. That gives us time to go over there, collect them, get set up in the conference room here for the bid opening at 2. So bids are due at our police services offices, which is in the Zach Kerlin parking garage, at 1 p.m. on the day of bid closing. That's it.
So in essence, you changed the bid to 1 o'clock.
The bids are due in hand at 1, the bid opening is at 2. Those instructions are in the specs.
Okay, this may be hard to do. let's just, I'll try to be respectful. If there's any questions, let's do it one at a time. Don't want anybody talking over anybody, but if there's any questions, we're happy to take them.
I'm just curious. This is Ray Boucher, Standard. On this arena work and replacing the seats, what is the availability of the seats? How long is it going to take to get them?
Well, I mean, that's up to you guys and your vendors. We did reach out to a few and found that you can probably get them in 90 days. That just means that all the prep work leading up to the arrival of the seats and the installation of the seats, you know, has to be done. I mean, that in order to meet that deadline. So.
Hey, this is Nick with Victor Hall Construction. I don't know if you saw mine and Chris Hendricks chat, but we were talking about, you know, if we have a walkthrough this Friday and then questions are due 6:15, that doesn't give us much time to get their questions together or to plan to be at the meeting. Is there a possibility that we could, you know, have a walkthrough next week?
Yes, I mean, I think we need to make the building available to you guys. It will be kind of at the U of M's discretion. I know that the U of M, the people on the call now, this isn't the only project they're working on. So, Lynn, if you will check your schedule for next week as well. I know that you're right. This is a short time frame for getting the first site visit arranged. But, Lynn, if you could check your calendar and find a couple other days, maybe next week, that we could make the building available.
Just looking at my calendar, June 16th, the following Tuesday, I've got that morning at 8:00.
June 16th at 8:00. Okay.
That helps out.
So I think, you know, kind of the question, is leading towards if we can't get people out on the site, and we've given the due date for all the questions on the 15th, that makes it tough for people to, you know, see the building and then get the questions out in time. I'm willing to let the questions, you know, be extended to the 16th, but it gives us, you know, if we end up with a slew of questions, hopefully we can get them addressed in time so that everybody has time to take off any corrections before the 23rd. So, excuse me.
Yeah, and this is Nick again. I guess, you know, really the whole point of it is, you know, the more subs that can look at it, the more competitive the bids will be. So it's really to the owner's benefit.
So Mark and Tony, I'll extend the RFI questions till the 16th. We still plan on getting our addendum out on the 18th. So the second site visit date will be Tuesday, June 16th at 8:00 a.m. And again, we'll meet in the west lobby of the Elma Roan Fieldhouse. That level is accessible off of the parking garage that's there off of Zach Curlin. So you should be able to walk right in those doors to that west lobby from the parking garage off of the east loop of Zach Curlin. Okay, any other questions? All right, Mark, Tony, any parting comments before we wrap up?
I can't think of any.
Okay. Lynn, thanks for being on the call and helping out with the tours. Appreciate that. Mark, thanks as well. And we'll be checking our emails and trying to get this all wrangled so that we can have an addendum out by the 18th. So thank you, everybody, for joining the call. And again, please email me so I know who was on the call. We'll create an attendance list. And as soon as I can figure out where this thing is saved, we'll get the recording made available to everybody as well. So thank you all and have a good day.
Thank you very much,
Steve.
All right. Bye.